Today on More to Life, Sheep Among Wolves. Dealing with someone who's been dishonest or deceitful, who's betrayed you, not sure how to respond. We'll help you set better boundaries and find the best way forward. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Sheep Among Wolves. Are you dealing with somebody who's been dishonest or deceitful? And we're talking about anybody from those little kids who say, I didn't eat the cookie with the crumbs falling out of their mouths, to the spouse who committed an affair, to those people who said they would do one thing and then did another thing behind your back. How do we deal with that kind of deceit, dishonesty, in all of its forms? It's hard to know how to respond gracefully, but that's what we want to talk about today on More to Life. Everything from dealing with the offense, to setting better boundaries, to healing the relationship.
Or to healing yourself if the relationship can't be healed because it's been truly a very large betrayal, and that person is not willing to work on it and just doubles down on how they treat you. It can be a bit complicated. It is definitely something that we as believers in Christ have to deal with. You know, if we did not care about what God wants from us, or how merciful He's been to us, or the kind of virtues He calls us to, if we were just people walking around, not really thinking about anything but ourselves, we would deal with deceit and dishonesty in a very different way. Probably a way that would lead us into some pretty harsh and possibly sinful behavior ourselves. But because we have a relationship with Christ that we want to have for all eternity, we know we must stop and ask Him how He wants us to deal with a situation like this. And also, not just to make it better between us and others, but to give Him glory as well. And that can seem like a lot to have to do when you're feeling hurt. So let's help you sort it out today, get some brand new skills, and connect you with more of the grace that God wants to give you. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Once again, the show is titled Sheep Among Wolves. We're asking, are you dealing with somebody who's been dishonest or deceitful? Again, whether that's dealing with your kids' lies. Yeah. I didn't eat the got a mouthful of crumbs. To, you know, those more serious deceits and offenses. Has somebody lied to you, let you down, or betrayed you in some way? Are you dealing with somebody who says one thing to your face and does another thing behind your back? Are you wondering how to heal a relationship where somebody has lied to you, been dishonest in some way, betrayed you in some way? Are you wondering how to gracefully set boundaries with the people who continue to act that way, despite your best efforts to address those concerns? However deceit, dishonesty, betrayal is impacting your life or relationships, let's talk it out and find some better ways to manage the pain, to pursue healing when possible, and to cooperate with God's grace in all of it. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. if you're wondering, well, you know, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me deal with people who've been dishonest or deceitful or who've betrayed me? All great questions. So when he was Pope, St. John Paul asked a huge question. He said, if we looked at everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all the stuff, right? If we looked at all of it, what universal principles could we draw to reveal God's plan for human flourishing and happy, healthy, holy relationships? That's a great question to ask, and that's what the theology of the body is all about, giving us those principles drawn from all the stuff God gave us that can help us understand what it means to flourish and have healthy relationships.
And in this case, St. John Paul II's theology of the body offers important insights into why setting healthy boundaries, especially those with those who have hurt or sinned against us, isn't only appropriate, but it's actually deeply loving. Rooted in the truth that every human person is created in the image and likeness of God and called to love as Christ loved, it's important to remember that authentic Christian love always seeks the good of the other. In this light, boundaries aren't boundaries to love. They're an expression of it. When someone behaves in a hurtful or sinful way, failing to set appropriate boundaries is actually unmerciful because it enables harm. Remember, admonishing the sinner is a spiritual work of mercy. As Galatians 6:1 tells us, Christians are obliged to lovingly and persistently confront wrongdoing with the hope of calling the person to repentance and healing.
That's right. So the theology of the body teaches that love always has to be ordered toward both the truth and our ultimate good. So setting boundaries actually affirms the dignity of the person we're in relationship with and communicates that their behavior is incompatible with the Christian call to love. So instead of being punitive, setting healthy boundaries can actually be a redemptive act, inviting both people or all the people involved to grow in holiness. Now, redemptive suffering also has its place, but we should never confuse that with passively accepting abuse. Suffering only becomes redemptive when it's freely united to Christ's sacrifice to work for each person's ultimate good, particularly working toward the conversion of the sinner and the restoration of authentic love in all of our relationships. So ultimately, Christian love, as the theology of the body emphasizes, must be truthful, sacrificial, and oriented toward healthy, holy relationships. And healthy boundaries protect and promote that kind of love. So there you go. Setting boundaries actually is a virtuous thing and a holy thing. So let us help you deal gracefully with those dishonest and deceitful people in your life. Has someone lied to you, let you down, betrayed you in some way? Are you dealing with somebody who says one thing to your face but then does another thing behind your back? And whether we're talking about those sort of quote-unquote, you know, little or innocent lies, like the child who says, I didn't eat the cookie, when they got crumbs fall out of their mouth, to those more serious things, like a spouse who has cheated on you or betrayed you in some way, a friend who has let you down in some way, a family member who has said one thing to your face but then talked about you or betrayed you behind your back. Let's talk about how to deal with those situations gracefully. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where someone has let us down by lying to us, being deceitful with us, betraying us. Those kinds of breaches of trust, can be very painful to heal. And we bring those situations to you, Lord, and ask us to have the wisdom to know how to respond to them in ways that enable us to stand up for what is true, to stand up for the dignity, for our dignity and the dignity of the other person, to have the courage to not just let that offense go, but to lovingly admonish that person and call them to repentance. Help us to know when it's safe and appropriate to heal relationships, or when we need to set boundaries to make those relationships safer or healthier. Give us the wisdom to know how to cooperate with your grace so that even in these painful situations where someone has lied to us or betrayed us or been dishonest in some way, we can respond to those offenses in ways that build your kingdom by healing the damage that sin has tried to do to our relationships. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Sheep Among Wolves. Are you dealing with somebody who's been dishonest or deceitful? Somebody who's maybe lied to you or betrayed you in some way? Or maybe, you know, says one thing to your face, but then does another thing behind your back. How do we deal with that as Christians? When do we set boundaries? What kind of boundaries should we set? How do we know if it's possible to reconcile with somebody who's behaved that way? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ryan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Hi, Ryan. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me on today with you guys.
Sure. What's up? Whoops.
Are you there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your question, sir?
I'm trying to, how you say, get my fiance back in a way, and you know, she feels like I haven't changed, and I'm trying to show her I can change, and you know, like how you guys say,
haven't changed, you know, what? What is it that you've done that she's saying she can't trust you and be with you?
To me, she just feels like I'm not, respecting her and her wishes, I guess you can say.
What is it that she's asked you to do that you haven't done? What wishes are you not respecting in her mind?
I mean, she just kind of feels like, you know, me and her argue over the same things a lot, and I keep trying to tell her that, you know, it's just more of how I feel, and, you know, I'm trying to get past it, but I'm trying to make her see a different light of me. But you know how a person kind of still sees the same old within you that they can't change from? So even amongst me trying to say that I changed, it's still no difference from, you know, your words. A person still hold on to the same old of you instead of looking at the...
Well, so Ryan, let me walk through this. Okay, so you're having a hard time being specific, so let me just offer some general guidance on this. A lot of times what happens, okay, in these kinds of discussions that you're describing to me, you got one person, your fiancé, who says, hey, Ryan, you know, you've hurt me in this way. And we tend to respond to that by saying, well, let me explain why you shouldn't be hurt, because this is what I meant. Right. And so we think we're offering an explanation, but we're really offering an excuse. Right. You know, we're not saying, hey, you know what? You're right. I have done that and I didn't mean to do that. And that's not what my intention was. But I see where you're coming from. Let's talk about how to handle those things differently in the future. Right. That would be a healthy conversation. But most of us, myself included, have a tendency to fall into this place where instead of saying that, we say, well, now, wait a minute. That's not at all what I did. What I really meant was this. And therefore, you shouldn't be upset because, you know, my intention was thus and such. And that's an excuse, not an explanation. And it sounds to me like unintentionally that's what's happening in this relationship. She's trying to point out to you some things that have caused her to not trust you or to not feel like she can count on you to attend to her needs or her concerns, and you're trying to help her see, I've changed, or that's not the way it really is. And I'm glad that you've changed, but you know, the way that you can show her that you've changed is by saying, all right, you know what, moving forward, what would you need to see from me differently that would let you know that I am taking your needs seriously, that I am addressing your concerns seriously, that I am trustworthy? You know, instead of trying to convince her that you're different and she should see you differently, ask her what you need to do to show her that you are different.
And then do it. Really listen to her and then do it. And Ryan, there are a lot of us who do not have the skills that we need to be in a healthy marital relationship as a spouse, as a parent. We just don't have them because we weren't raised with them. But the wonderful thing is, in the time we are living in, there are lots and lots of ways for us to get those skills. Number one is to actually ask the person we're in relationship with, which is what Greg is saying. Number two is, if we're feeling like, hey, that's barely a language I know how to speak, we get good relational help. There are all sorts of ways. There are retreat weekends for couples. There's, you know, counseling and pastoral care you can get into. There's all sorts of ways to say, I am this person. I want to be that person in the future. And I'm going to do A, B, and C to get myself there. And that's not only how we build integrity, but it's how we build trust with the people we're in relationship with.
So while I appreciate where you're coming from, and I do appreciate the fact that you feel like you've done work on yourself, I want you to change the focus of your conversation with your fiancé from, hey, you should see me differently or I've changed, to, what could I do to show you that I take your concerns seriously, that I want to meet your needs appropriately, that how can I behave in a way that would show you that you could trust me? And if she's not able to answer that question, or you're not able to follow through with what she says, that's when it's time to seek some extra help. Ryan, thank you so much for the question. I hope that these suggestions will help you frame the problem a little differently and be able to move forward and heal that relationship. God bless you, and thank you for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Sheep Among Wolves. We're talking about people who have been dishonest or deceitful in some way, who've betrayed us. Whether we're talking about little betrayals, like those lies that kids tell to get out of trouble, to those big problems, like a spouse cheating on you, or a friend betraying you, or a parent who's hurt you in some way. That person who says one thing to your face, but then does another thing behind your back, and you're just not sure how to handle it. Well, let's talk about how to set healthy boundaries in those situations, protect your own heart, and when possible, heal the relationship. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back from the break, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be sharing some insights for how we can deal gracefully with people who've lied to us. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This summer, take a vacation that lifts your spirit and soul. Join Corporate Travel for the annual Grand Getaway on beautiful Mackinac Island, August 3rd to the 5th. Experience historic Grand Hotel, powerful talks from Father Mike Schmitz, Steve Ray, Dr. Edward Sree, and Father Leo Padalinghug, plus live broadcasts with Teresa Tamio, daily mass, four-course dinners, and dancing. Faith, fellowship, and fun in one retreat. Only a few rooms remaining. Don't miss out.
Book this Ave Maria Radio trip now by checking the travel page on AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Sheep Among Wolves, as we talk about dealing with people who have been dishonest, deceitful, or have betrayed us. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She wants to talk about those times when our kids are less than honest with us. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
It's great to have you with us. So, Rachel, let's start with this idea right from the get-go. And as Greg has been, you know, giving us the example of through the first part of the show, you know, the kid has the cookies all over his mouth, even though he was told not to eat the cookies before he had dinner. And you're like, did you eat the cookies? What's the mistake in that question in the first place? And where should we go if not that way?
Exactly. The thing we have to remember is honesty is a virtue. Virtues aren't always hard to acquire. They demand practice continually. And so the first thing we need to do is, how are we framing the question to the person who has lied to us, especially when we have the proof of the crumbs, or the child who said they did their homework, but you know the backpack was never even unzipped, to say, you know, not did you, but rather, oh, I see that the cookie's missing, or I see that you're backpack wasn't unzipped last night with homework. You know, do you want to tell me what happened? You know, let the child explain the reasoning. You know, let them kind of fess up on their own. When we do that direct attack, the only thing that does is cause defensiveness to our children, to our spouse, to anybody we're dealing with. We can go in kind of more oblique, kind of on the side saying, here's the evidence I see. I'm letting you tell me and explain what happened, so we don't sever the relationship, but look to heal it and keep it strong.
Yeah, and so I can help you know what it is you need to do to reconcile with me, with God, with everybody else, and not be heavy-handed about it. But really, you know, as moms, I think we know we do an awful lot of work to teach them everything, right? We have to teach them how to use a fork. We have to teach them how to Velcro those shoes together, all those skills. We need to look at this as one more skill to teach instead of something to freak out about, right?
Exactly. And when we do catch our child in the lie or see the evidence that they didn't finish the chore, we have to bite our tongue, take a deep breath, and respond with a kindness. Otherwise, we're setting them up for a system where they don't trust us. I can never tell mom and dad anything because all I do is get yelled at. All I do is get, you know, made to feel worse than the action. So we have to respond with kindness, saying, oh, yeah, the chore didn't get done. I see this. So how can we fix this? What's the consequence for that action? Give them the kiss and the hug and say, I know you can do better. I've witnessed it. I've seen you be so strong, so responsible. You know, let's see it again. And
Rachel, you know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of the scripture that tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And I think, you know, we need to recognize that these sorts of lies, especially the kinds that you're talking about from our kids, tend to be rooted in a fear. You know, the fear that, yes, that I'm going to be in trouble, the fear that I'm going to be wrong, this fear. And by responding to those fears in love, we can teach our kids that it's safe to make mistakes, it's safe to own up to those mistakes, and it's safe to do the work that's necessary to heal those mistakes, and that they don't have to lie because they can be honest with us and know that they can get the help and the love that they need to do better moving forward.
Exactly. And take their apology at face value. You know, when they say they're sorry, instill a sincere apology, not the I'm sorry, rolled eyes one, but they can say they're sorry. You're going to see a change in their behavior, and you're going to see a concrete action to let you see and show them, I see your apology. Thank you for that. Making sure to give the thank yous when appropriate, because that will feed them to say, it's safe here with mom and dad. I can make a mistake, like you said, Greg, and we can move on and love each other throughout all of it.
And doesn't that set our children up for understanding the relationship God wants to have with them? Mm-hmm. So that they don't become one of the zillions of us who's terrified to walk into the sacrament of reconciliation.
Exactly.
But they've had that light and that love and that guidance from us, so they say, oh, I can trust God to forgive me and to give me the grace to learn new skills and do better in my life.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time and those insights that you've shared with us from your long career of parenting. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work with the Little Flowers Girls Club, I really encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com. Thanks, Rachel.
Yep, God bless.
And, you know, we were talking about, you know, teaching kids how to be honest. This is something that we do on Catholic Home every day. And if you'd like to learn more about that, it's Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. And it's an app that we created to provide support to parents through coaching and creative resources to really help you build a more loving, connected, caring Catholic household and raise godly Catholic kids and be a confident Catholic parent. When you subscribe to the Catholic HOM app, you can get all the coaching you need from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches to overcome behavior problems, cultivate virtue, create a more meaningful family spiritual and prayer life. Plus, you can get tons of creative resources to make living the faith at home simple and fun, help you talk about relationship in a deeper way, and be the godly team that God's calling you to be. Check it out. We'd love to help you create that more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. Become a member of the Catholic Home app today. You can get 2 months free when you choose the annual plan for just $149, or pay month-to-month for $14.95. One subscription covers both parents and gives your whole family access to all the activities and coaching, too. So with Catholic Home, you don't have to feel overwhelmed or alone. We're here to help you build that Catholic family life that you've been longing for. So subscribe today wherever you get your apps and become part of the Catholic HOM, Households on Mission community. Hope to see you there. With that, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Today's show, titled Sheep Among Wolves. Has someone lied to you, let you down, or betrayed you in some way? Are you dealing with somebody who says one thing to your face and does another thing behind your back? Let's talk about how to manage all that gracefully. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls after this.
Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
What are the three major sins against the first commandment? The Catholic Catechism lists them as tempting God, sacrilege, and simony. How can we tempt God? By putting his goodness and almighty power to the test. By word or deed, as Satan dared to do when he commanded Jesus throw himself down from the temple. He was trying to force God to act. Jesus rebuked the devil with God's word, "You shall not put the Lord thy God to the test." The sin of sacrilege profanes sacraments and other liturgical actions, as well as persons, things, or places consecrated to God. It is particularly grave when committed against the Eucharistic Jesus. Simony is the sin of buying and selling of spiritual things. It's named after Simon the magician, who attempted to purchase spiritual power from St. Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Why are some married couples happy while others struggle? You might think that happy couples argue less and resolve issues more efficiently than unhappy couples. But in fact, research suggests that both happy and unhappy couples argue about as much and struggle similarly with problem solving. The real difference is that happy couples consciously work toward maintaining their relationship and emotional health. For example, they create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together on a daily and weekly basis. Happy couples also look for ways to help each other out from day to day, little things that might make the other person's day easier or more pleasant. And then, when conflict breaks out, as it inevitably does in any human relationship, they realize that the most important thing isn't solving the conflict, but how they come to that resolution. Happy couples take care of each other while they go through that conflict so they can work to find solutions together. Marriage isn't easy, but the good news is that with a little work, any couple can find real happiness together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you'd like faithful help for your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Sheep Among Wolves. We talk about those people who lie to us, betray us, have been dishonest or deceitful in some way. It's hard to know how to respond gracefully, what kind of boundaries to set, when to set them. Is it possible to heal the relationship? How do we heal our own broken hearts? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hey, Sarah, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I guess that's my question, is whether to try and mend this relationship or just, count my loss.
What's going on?
Well, I had a 20-year relationship with a work friend. We had at one time decided, maybe to, we got engaged. And then, so it fell through. He couldn't do it, couldn't commit. So I got very upset, very depressed. And he's not real committal. My mom said he's always selfish. Everything was always before me, so I guess it's a boundary issue with me. I know that. But when I try to talk to him about what he's doing, he gaslights me and it becomes my issue. Oh, you're so angry. Those kind of things. So the last straw that happened last year, I haven't spoke to him for a year, was he didn't want to date any other women. We're now in, approaching our 60s. We're good friends. He said he just wanted to be like brother and sister. That's what we've had, for many years. After I repaired the relationship after not going through with the marriage. And he ended up seeing another woman. And I was like, oh, I can't go through this again because I've been through it before.
Yeah, no, you can't.
So, sir, let me ask you, why would you want to continue this relationship? It sounds pretty awful.
Well, yeah, I know. I've thought about that. I guess I'm just kind of missing his companionship. When he is caring, he's caring. When we get together, we can be ourselves. And I'm wondering, is this should I repair it or just, like I said, maybe count my blessings?
I think you want to count your blessings on this. I mean, I don't normally tell people to do this, but I think in this case, all the math is mathing in the direction of, this is an unhealthy relationship
God's
that you're getting rid of.
God's trying to free you from this relationship by letting him say one thing and do the other again. This is a pattern. He gaslights you. He basically lies to you, saying, oh, I want to marry you. No, I can't do it. Oh, I just want to be brother and sister with you and never date another woman. Oh, I'm dating another woman. Sarah, you can't trust him. That's not a friendship. That's somebody you can sort of hang out with sometimes to give yourself something to do on a Wednesday night because you feel a little lonely. That's not a friendship. And because he's so untrustworthy, I wouldn't suggest you taking him up ever on hanging out just so you can be friends and not be lonely, because you can't trust him. And you, Sarah, are worth so much more than that.
And I can appreciate, being lonely, and sometimes that loneliness makes us lower the bar way too far. But I'm going to encourage you, Sarah, to kind of look at that part of you that is willing to, for want of a better way to put it, is it willing to kind of sell out what you are worth as a beloved daughter of God, for this poor kind of relationship, just to satisfy that sense of loneliness. You deserve so much more, as Lisa was just pointing out. And if there's anything that we can do to support you in discovering really what you're worth and how to pursue healthier relationships in general, and maybe even the healthier relationship with the one.
Yeah, because it's not too late.
I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. I want to help you get to that place where you can really see what you're worth, set those boundaries on the unhealthy relationships, and open your heart more to what you really deserve from another person. I hear you say that you have enjoyed your company with this person. You have a history together, certainly. But when you say that when you say, you know, we can be ourselves around each other, that's not really true. Because if he was really being himself and you guys could be honest about what your wishes were for your life, what you wanted from each other, what your values were, your goals were, he hasn't been straight with you about any of that. He's not really been himself.
And you're holding on from everything you're saying, Sarah. You're holding on to this relationship by not truly being yourself. You know, I can hear in your voice and from what you say you wish you had with this person, you're looking for somebody, as you should, Sarah. This is the truth that you should be walking in. You want to be with people, any people, but especially somebody who is going to companion you exclusively through your life as a dear friend or a spouse. Somebody who's going to lift you up. Somebody who is going to show you how beautiful and wonderful and cherished and loved you, Sarah, are by that person and by God. You want somebody who's going to reflect God's love into your eyes, into your heart, into your soul all the time. And instead, you're dimming your own light because you don't want him to react the way he's reacted multiple times, which is yesing you to death and then doing whatever the heck he wants. And that's not good for you, and it's not good for him.
And I'll be honest. I mean, you know, and I'm not sure. I want to be clear about something. I'm not saying what I'm about to say in any kind of way to condemn you or him, okay? But I want you to really hear this, okay? Because you guys weren't being yourselves. This relationship was built entirely on lies. So he lied to you whenever he proposed to you, and then he backed out of it, and then he lied to you that he wanted to be your friend. In some ways, you kind of lied to him by saying, you know, that, well, you know, we're just going to be friends.
Yeah.
Because if you were really okay with just being friends, then you'd be happy that he found the person to spend his life with.
But instead, you feel betrayed because he did lie to you.
Because you kind of wanted more of a relationship than he was willing to give, but you were willing to kind of lie to him about what you were willing to accept from him to keep him in your life.
Yeah, you didn't mean to lie to him.
Again,
but by
not condemning
settling,
you...
And when we settle, we're letting Satan in to kind of rub us down like sandpaper on a stone. You know, like, okay, I'll just settle a little bit. No, now I'll just settle a little bit more. Now I won't be completely honest with this person or even with myself about what I need, want, and deserve and what God might want for me. So I agree 100% with Greg. We will rarely, rarely say to somebody, this is what you should do. Sarah, please cut your losses. Join activities. Meet new people. Get some good pastoral counseling help to help you flourish and become the beautiful, wonderful woman of God. I can so clearly hear in your voice. I can hear your heart. You deserve so much more, Sarah. And I really encourage you to step forth in courage, leave this relationship behind, even if he comes slithering back, to say, no, it's okay. You go do you. I'm going to work on my own life.
And be open to what... Because I believe that God really has an amazing plan for you. And I believe that he has a person for you, too. But God hasn't been able to give you that person because your heart's really been conflicted about this relationship.
Conflicted is a good word.
Let God in. Stop trying to meet this need yourself. And if you want support in figuring out how to do that, please reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you find faithful ways to open your heart to God's plan for your life. Thanks for the call, Sarah. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Sheep Among Wolves. Are you dealing with somebody who's been dishonest or deceitful? Someone who's betrayed you in some way, lied to you, or let you down? Are you dealing with somebody who says one thing to your face, but then does another thing behind your back? And then when you try to confront them on it, it's like, I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about? I know all of us have been there at one point or another. Let us help you get the skills you need to gracefully deal with those dishonest or deceitful people, those people who've hurt you or betrayed you in some way. Figure out what kind of boundaries you might need to set, how to heal the relationship if it's possible, and either way, how to heal your heart moving forward. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to join the conversation. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1.
If a person is caught in some transgression, you who are spiritual should correct that one in a gentle spirit.
And this is St. Paul, you know, really encouraging us to lovingly address offenses. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that building the kingdom of God is primarily about healing the damage that sin does to our relationships, because we were created for communion, and sin disrupts that communion. So when we do things like say to the person who lied to us or betrayed us or hurt us in some way, hey, you need to stop that. What can we do to fix that? That's a loving thing to do. And if they don't listen to that gentle correction, then it's okay to set boundaries with that person too, because that's also how we call a person to repentance. And as long as the goal here is to work for that person's ultimate good, your ultimate good, and the ultimate good of the relationship, you're doing what God's asked you to do, even if the other person gets mad at you for setting those boundaries. Because let's face it, none of us wants to repent. And so when somebody calls us effectively to do that, the first thing we get defensive and a little bit angry and upset. But that's okay. You know, and we're doing the thing that God is asking us to do by setting those boundaries and lovingly admonishing the sinner. Well, today's show is titled Sheep Among Wolves. Are you dealing with somebody who's been dishonest or deceitful? Somebody who has betrayed you in some way? Maybe said one thing to your face and then acts a different way behind your back? Those situations, hard to deal with, but we want to help you find grace-filled ways to respond to those challenges, set boundaries when you need to, figure out whether and what it would take to heal the relationship, and how to heal your heart either way. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Sheep Among Wolves. We're talking about those times when someone's been dishonest or deceitful. Whether we're talking about little lies, like when our kids are trying to get out of trouble for doing something that they shouldn't have done, but don't want to admit to. Or we're talking about those big, complicated situations where someone you care about has betrayed you in some way, let you down, lied to you, maybe said something to your face, but then done something behind your back. We're going to talk about how to heal from those situations and set boundaries when you need to, repair the relationship when possible. What does that all involve? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Dina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania, has a question for us. She said, I am so frustrated and feel so betrayed by my sister, who is constantly not available to me or my family. She lives only about 3.5 hours away, which I think is very drivable, but she never makes time to visit me or my parents or come to family gatherings. We talk on the phone about every other week, and she does call my parents once a week and constantly says things like, I can't wait to see you soon, Mom and Dad. I'm really going to try to make it out there for such and such. And then she never follows through. I get that she has a husband and 3 children and a small hobby farm, but I want a relationship with her, and my parents deserve one. And they miss her so much. I'm getting angrier and angrier, and I try to control my temper for our calls because I don't want to drive her further away even more. But I constantly feel like I have to defend her to my parents to make their broken hearts feel better, and I can't trust that she'll ever follow through. What should I be doing about all of this? And that's Dina in Pennsylvania.
Thank you for the question, Tina. So you don't share in that at all what you've tried to do so far. So I'm going to start from the beginning and kind of work out from there. The first thing I would say is that it's not really your job to fix the relationship between your sister and your parents. And I would focus more energy on your relationship with your sister. You know, if you'd like to see her more often, then start by addressing that directly. So then step two is addressing this directly, saying to her, hey, listen, you know, I really appreciate you saying that you can't wait to see us or you can't wait to see our folks, but you know, it's been a while since you've come and you tend not to kind of make the visit. What's going on? Could you help me understand where you're at? I mean, is it, you know, and really just kind of let that hang.
And really, like, if she starts with, oh, well, we're so busy or something keeps coming up, say, no, I understand busy. I understand coming up on and things happening, but this is a consistent issue. What's underneath all of this?
You might even share, you know, that when people say that they're busy, especially when it comes to making time for a relationship, what that really means is that for whatever reason, they feel like that relationship is more trouble than it's really worth. That it costs them too much to invest in that relationship for some reason. And I would say, you know, look, I was listening to this show, and the people on the show said, you know, when people are too busy for a relationship, what that, yes, there's busyness, of course, but whenever that becomes the constant obstacle to dealing with stuff, what it really means is that the relationship is more trouble than it's worth. What about the relation? What about our relationship feels that way? Because I'd really like to help us get past that so that we could see each other. If you care to bring that up, you know, and say, you know, hey, I'd like to get past that and see if we could, you know, get you some time with Mom and Dad, that's fine. But I just want to start just reminding you that it's not your job ultimately to fix the relationship with your folks. At most, what you can do is try to identify what is making that relationship more trouble than it's worth in your sister's eyes, and encourage your sister to address those concerns directly with your parents. But it's not your job to kind of defend your sister to your parents to make them feel better or to protect her. At most, it's your job to kind of work on your own relationship with your sister and gently confront her by saying, hey, look, I you know, you always say that you want to be here, and it really makes me feel good, and then I kind of look forward to the visit, and that never happens. But, you know, I'm sure that there is something going on there. You know, what's going on, and how can we address it? How can I help you feel more supported by me? More like our relationship isn't more trouble than it's worth. What can we do to kind of make this right?
And truly work on the situation with you and her in a way that lets you know, truly, just like we were talking, you know, with Sarah about, is this a relationship? Even though you're blood, we give that so much weight. But you have to stop and say, if this was anybody else in my life, if this was a friend from school, and they moved 3 hours away, and they never showed up for me, would I continue the relationship? Give it the chance that Greg is talking about. But then really assess why you're making such an effort if she's not. And allow your parents to be the grown-ups here and do the same. It sounds like you're trying to be gentle with them and take care of them and trying to make them happy and not be hurt by her. But they are allowed to be adult enough to work this out with their other daughter without you getting in the mix of it.
Well, thank you so much for the question. There's actually a similar question from Rita in San Antonio, Texas, who wasn't able to stay on, but I wanted to address this, especially since we're talking about this anyway. She said that her adult daughter and she have a fractured relationship, that the adult daughter pushes her away every time she tries to spend time with her. Rita wants to know how to heal the relationship. And so along these same lines, when that occurs, there's always some issue that is unresolved, and it's important, Rita, for you to be able to say to your daughter, "Hey, look, you know, I'm getting the impression that there's something that you need to say to me, that there's some way that I've hurt you, or there's some way that you feel like our relationship is more trouble than it's worth. What's going on? I really would like to understand how you're feeling about us and how I could do a better job supporting you and being here for you. Don't make it about how come you never come around for me? How come you never call?
Why do you hurt me? That's all about you and your feelings rather than assuming if somebody's pushing you away that there is something they want help working on.
Well, okay, but and if you go back to what I was saying, too, about the idea that when somebody is avoiding another person, especially when adult kids are avoiding their parents, that it's because they feel the relationship is more trouble than it's worth. Again, that's a terrible way to say it, but that is how they feel, right? And so you have to kind of begin by meeting the person where they're at. If you then confront that by saying, how come you don't come around? How can't you know how much this hurts me? You know, how come you... You're just making the relationship even more trouble than it's worth. You're buying into the problem. So the only way around that is by showing that it can be safe to open up to you and that you want to be a better support to them. So you say, hey, you know, I really love you and I'd like us to be able to get along better, but I get the feeling that you really don't feel supported by me or you don't feel like there are things that you could tell me. I want to really be able to listen to you and understand how I can be a better support to you. What needs to happen for you to feel that way about me? And really open the door, and then really listen. And this is hard to do, because she might say things that are hard to hear, and you're going to immediately want to defend yourself. You're going to want to say, well, that's not really how it is. Like we were talking about it with Ryan at the very beginning of the show. You know, we don't want to hear what the other person says. Instead, we want to explain why they're not seeing it correctly. And as parents, we especially fall prey to that. Really bite your tongue and pray through it. God, give me the wisdom to really listen. Help me to only say exactly what you want me to say. And if I'm not sure, help me to keep my mouth shut. And instead, what you really want to say is, hey, you know, thank you for letting me know all these things. You said a lot of stuff that I really just want to sit with and pray about, because you deserve a good answer, a good response to that. And I just really want to kind of take some time to think about what you said, so maybe I can ask any questions I might need to do or even make changes I need to make. But thank you for letting me know. Make it safe for your daughter to open up to you about whatever her hurts or confusions or frustrations are. Create that space where she can walk away from the experience saying, well, Mom kind of listened. I'm really surprised that went better than I thought it would. And then if you've got questions, you can bring them up later. Not challenges, okay? Not going back to her and saying, well, I have questions because you didn't see it the right way. It's you know what? I would like to be able to meet that need. Help me understand what that would look like in this situation. Those are the kind of questions I'm talking about. And ultimately, if you need more support in figuring out how to handle all this, two resources for you. First, our book, having meaningful, sometimes difficult, conversations with her adult sons and daughters. It's not just a book about having conversations about tough topics. It's ultimately a conversation about healing our relationship with our adult kids so that they can open their hearts to us. That's having meaningful, sometimes difficult, conversations with our adult sons and daughters. We get a ton of great feedback on that book, by the way, and I'm sure it will help you. If you'd like more personalized attention, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, and that goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling in some area of your life or relationships or marriage, family, or personal life, and you're looking for ways to heal, especially with somebody who's been hurtful to you, deceitful, dishonest, lied to you, let's reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.